Ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ Ginger MC, and you are about to get notified.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Good morning, Irvine. You heard it there. The Board of Regents doesn't necessarily agree with what we have to say, but that's okay because we like what we're saying. We are here to help you learn how to demystify social media. My name is Ryan Folland. You can find me at Ryan Folland online if you're tweeting me, and at Ryan.Folland if you're Instagramming me. And I'm very excited today because I have a guest who is a referral. And I always love referrals because when you know people and then they know people, it makes the world go round. Now, Sherry is on the phone with us. Sherry, are you here?
I am here.
Are you wearing a wig?
I am not.
Okay, well, I am. In your honor, I'm wearing a red wig with a tartan cap that makes me look like I am in the ginger brother from another mother of Braveheart himself. Now, I make this wig joke right off the gates because if you Google Sherry Fink, you will see her in pink hair, in purple hair, in teal hair. I haven't really seen one that is very ginger yet, but that's okay because you have one that is rainbow colored and that covers all of your bases.
That's right.
Now, Sherry, you are a marketing strategist and you help authors cultivate relationships with readers, correct?
Correct.
And you know my buddy Leonard Simcheck.
Yes, we're
okay.
Both writers.
Just checking to make sure you're the right person that should be on the show today. And I think it's special because I believe that everyone is a writer if they have written at some point during their life. Just like I believe that a public speaker, the minimum requirement is that you have spoken in public. And we have a even specialer guest today named Esmeralda. Esmeralda, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine.
Now, she is full of smiles. Have you had your coffee this morning?
No, I haven't.
No, she's just been up early, right? This
I
is your
just
second
got
show?
Up. Yes.
So she's interning on the show here, and I gave her late notice on wearing a wig, so she's not, but that's okay. And are you a writer, Esmeralda?
I am not a writer.
Have you ever written anything?
Essays for college.
So take it back. You are a writer.
Yeah, I guess I am.
You see that? See how easy this is? So everybody who's listening, whether you consider yourself a writer or not, ask yourself if you've ever written, and that includes a Facebook post, an Instagram, writing a hashtag, because at the end of the day, your written words that are out there in the world, if they don't connect, do they really exist? Sherry, if I write a poem and no one reads it, does it exist?
Well, it does for you.
All right. Well, the idea is that a lot of times when we write things, unless they're essays for college, we want to sort of showcase that or share it with the world. And the way to do that is to get people engaged with it. So I'm excited for you to talk today, not only just about authors, but about Esmeralda and about myself and how do we get what we're putting out there online into the eyeballs and brains of people that we are trying to affect or to influence or to share with or just simply to make their day a little bit brighter and not meaner, because we're not going to support trolls here on the show. And Esmeralda is nodding very seriously. So Sherry, give us a little bit of background on yourself. I mean, have you always been a writer and did you make the transition into social media and how is that working out for you?
Well, you know, I guess by your definition, I've always been a writer.
Yes, exactly.
I've written things on napkins, you know, for years.
Right. I'm digging this. This is a whole new writing theory. Ryan's writing theory means you are a writer if and only if you've ever written any word.
So, yeah, I mean, as a kid, I was writing all the time. I was always creating books and games and stories. And, you know, I choreographed a musical with the kids in my neighborhood and then charged their parents admission to get into my backyard to see it. Like,
brilliant.
You know, I was always writing things and creating. And it wasn't until, I guess, 6 years ago when I embarked on the journey away from the corporate world, where I also did some writing as part of my job, but it wasn't the focus, But as you know, in any career, you have to be persuasive. So words matter, no matter what your industry is. So I guess I had kept it from that perspective, too. And I was working in marketing. So I had some advantage because I was learning as I went. Like, consumer behavior evolved so quickly, and that was something that I was so fascinated by in my corporate career, is that we would try something, it would work. We try it again, wouldn't work. You know, you're constantly innovating to keep up and writing new content and trying new things. And I think that's really served me well when I decided to publish my first book.
Tell us about your first book.
My first book is called The Little Rose, and it is about a rose that grows up in a weed bed and thinks that she's the weed because she's different. And she learns that she's a beautiful rose no matter what anyone else says or thinks about it. And it's a children's picture book that's written for kids ages 5 to 10. And, you know, it's really been such a gift in my life, because it was inspired from an incident that I experienced where I was being bullied and I didn't know what to do. And I just had this moment of surrender, and the story came to me, and that had never happened to me before. You know, it was a very surreal experience. And then when I had the courage to actually get it out into the world, all these serendipitous things kept happening for me. Like, you know, 2 weeks after the book was published, it went number one bestseller on Amazon.
Wow.
And then it stayed at number one for over 60 weeks, and it changed everything in my life.
The rose grew, the roots grew, they tickled him, he laughed, he laughed, he thought he would die, he did die, they buried him, they planted a rose above his head. Have you heard that one?
I have not.
Okay, so I don't know. This is a campfire sort of style, right? But you have these songs that sort of repeat. It's actually the GIF version of a song. And there's a rose. They buried it. You know, it sort of goes. So I was thinking about a rose growing, and I went back to my childhood there for you. I think what you're talking about as far as your life experience influencing this creative moment that then leads to a number of situations that sort of seem to stack successes upon itself, and you look back and you're like, wow, that started off as a rose and it's really a rose bush now, and it sort of helped to guide you in what you're doing. I think that's a lesson for everybody out there, especially having the courage to deal with some sort of struggle. Personally, my story is very tied in with bullying. I was the ginger that was the outcast. I was the freckled juice. I was the guy that kept getting beat up. I had people follow me home. I actually changed schools. I got bullied out of a second school. And I talk about this moment every once in a while because it's kind of embarrassing, but it's funny and we're being authentic here. One day it just got really bad. I locked myself into my own room and I convinced myself that, you know, playing a song on repeat, Don't Worry, Be Happy, would be the best thing for me. So there I am crying, listening on repeat to Don't Worry, Be Happy. My dad, you know, kicks in the door or whatever. Like, you know, dads are good at unlocking doors. Mm-hmm. And he walks in and we had always bonded over Chuck Norris and Van Damme and all these like karate movies and stuff. And he went, you know what? That's it, Ryan. This stops now. We're getting you into karate. And then all of a sudden, like, my world changed. I channeled my inner Ryan Son, and I started karate the next day, and it gave me the confidence to then stand up. And the more I knew how to become a lethal weapon with my little 11-year-old, 12-year-old hands, the less I ever needed to fight. It inspired my first book, which is a resource guide on bullying. I created a bully form with 10 different moves, and similar in that, you know, it didn't become a bestseller, but it just really got me to own that story, and I spoke a lot, and that's what helped to project my or propel my speaking career. And it's something very dear and true. And I think that there's a lot of other similar stories out there. Struggle can turn into success. They start with the same letter. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
true.
Esmerella,
it's a beautiful story.
Did you ever have any trouble growing up?
Yes. For me, being like my height, I'm like 5 feet now, like I just grew this like junior year of high school, so like all my life I struggled with being short and being the shortest one out of all my friends, out of everyone at school. So I got bullied a lot by many people just saying that, like, oh, you're so short, you're not gonna be able to reach the top shelf, like things like that. But
and at the time, like when you think back on it, on being called freckle face and freckle juice, mm-hmm. or you can't reach something on top shelf, it seems silly, but it's so real at that moment.
At that moment, it's so real, and it hurt. Like I struggled a lot, but like what got me through was actually school. Like school was the one that, like, I'm good at this. I'm going to like push myself to be better at school and not let those comments actually affect me.
And what children's book are you going to write being inspired by today's show? You don't have to answer yet, but by the end of the show, you need to come up with something. And it can't be a rose in a rose bush or a rose in a bush of weeds. And it can't be a karate-based 10-step bully form, okay?
I'll think about it throughout the show.
So Sherry, this is fun. We're all like bullied buddies right now. Like yeah. Hashtag bullied buddies. I think that this is interesting because whether it's being bullied, whether it's being harassed, whether it's just being ignored, all these things, I challenge everybody to channel your inner name, Son, and be inspired to come up with a children's book by the end of the show. So on that note, Sherry, like what are some of these processes from a zero to hero or a zero to like Wonder Woman when it comes to taking some piece of content, whether it's a book, whether it's a poem, whether it's a long blog? I mean, what is step one? What do you do and how do you get that transformed from, you know, in your head to on paper? And then how do we make that transition online? Because that's a whole nother intimidating process.
It is. And it's actually very similar, like, because there's a lot of the same fear, right? Who am I to put this out there? What are people going to think? What if people say stuff? You know, it's the same kind of process that stops people from expressing themselves in situations, that stops them from writing, that stops them from being on social media because they're just so freaking terrified, you know? So for me, I think it's just having the courage to capture the words on paper first, then going through the editing process, which is the worst part for me. It's the most challenging, but it's where you perfect your words and you try to get it the best you can in that moment for the reader. Then it helps sometimes if you want to build confidence to have beta readers. So like when I do a children's book, I have 20 beta readers read the story first before I publish it. So after the editing, when I'm like in the last phase of that, I'll invite 20 people who I respect and admire, who, you know, sometimes they're parents, sometimes they're grandparents, teachers. They're people who run nonprofits that benefit kids of the age group that I'm targeting. They're people who would be a customer for the book, a natural fit. And then I'll ask them to read the story and give me feedback. And that was something I did with the first book because I was so scared to publish it. I had never done anything like that, you know. So when I did that, 18 out of 20 of them came back and said, I got goosebumps reading the story. Wow, and that was without illustration.
Yeah.
So like that gave me some confidence. And I was like, wow, maybe this story does have meaning for the rest of the world. And if I can help one child to know how precious they are and that they can make different decisions about who they are and what's possible for them in this world, then it is worth it. So I think a lot of it is building your own confidence. And for me, especially with that first book, when I would come out of that bullying situation and I was so self-protective, the biggest thing for me was every day getting in alignment with my passion. I had to align with getting the message out, with helping other people, because I was scared. So I would basically immerse myself into the feeling of what it would be like to hold the book in my hand and read it to a child who needed the message. And that feeling got so big and was so expansive for me that it dwarfed the fear. And I would do it every single day. And then I would keep taking action. And eventually, like, that led to social media.
Wow. So step one is have courage to put your words down on paper. And yes. For those of you who have forgotten how to physically write, it's okay. You can still type or you can use your little keypad on your phone. But
you can even dictate it.
You can.
You can even dictate it into your phone. And there's applications like Dragon Naturally Speaking that will transcribe it for you onto your phone.
Now, Sherry, I've got something for you. Do you ever use Google Docs?
I have in the past, yes.
Okay. And that makes me think that you're not a total Google Doc geek, which is okay. But Dragon...
True story.
I could tell. Dragon Dictate is somewhat costs like 60, 70 bucks for a student license, and they've been the leader until this juggernaut named Google came along. And they just released, I think in March, a voice-to-type tool in their toolbar. So I'm a total Google Doc geek, and I will use this transcription all the time. I open up a Google Doc, keep it blank, and what you do, actually, I'm going to do it here because Esmeralda's looking at me like, oh my gosh, this is cool.
This is new information.
So what I'm doing here is I'm open a Google Doc, and then I click on the tools, and there's a little microphone. It says voice typing, and then I'm going to click there, and the words that come out of my mouth, even though I am talking this fast, it is dictating onto the Google Doc word for word without any fail. And if you don't believe me, Esmeralda, is that exactly what it's doing right now?
It is doing exactly that. This is actually pretty helpful for lecture when he's going way too fast, when my professor's going way too fast. I could just...
And here's the trick. She's tripping out.
I am.
And a lot of times the physical hindrance of not being a fast typer or not being comfortable with the 8 keys. I mean, if you're still finger pecking around like it's uncomfortable, but if you just open a Google Doc and click that, I talk at a pretty fast cadence and it still picks up the words. So when I write blogs or I write pieces, I will just talk into the computer because I love to talk. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back and edit it. So Esmeralda, your children's book is going to be dictated on Google Docs. Perfect. And it's free. And then I'll even use my Google Docs on my phone. Let's say I'm in traffic and I'm a passenger because you shouldn't text and drive. Mm-hmm. You can have the Google Docs open on your phone and you can actually dictate and edit right there on the doc real time. And it saves instantly. So
that's awesome.
There is an amazing tip. You don't have to write. Step one, to being a writer, you don't have to write. But if you are a writer, you are classified as a writer if you've ever written.
Yes. Ryan's theory.
Yes, Ryan's writer's theory. That's my new book. Actually, I might be able to write a children's book about children who are fearful of writing, but they love to talk. Maybe they've got some learning disability and it's actually a challenge for them. So with the use of this computer, they can actually become have the ability to express themselves. And I don't know how far we want to get the children onto social media, but maybe it's just a technology empowerment story. I like it. Esmeralda, are you coming up with your book already? Are you thinking of something?
I'm thinking of something.
Okay. So step number one is think of something. Step number two is put it down on paper or talk to Google Docs. Mm-hmm. And then, Sherry, this is interesting because you said before you throw it out there into the world, find at least 20 people to read it. And the nice thing about a children's book, it's not as intimidating as a big old thick fat novel that you know people aren't going to read, or you're asking them, you know, like for their second child just to read something, right?
Exactly.
Esmeralda, do people read anymore?
Honestly, I'm not so sure.
Oh, wow. There you have it. Hashtag truth. Hashtag truth.
I'm going to introduce you to some new people, Esmeralda.
Yes, please.
Well, we are here at UCI, and I think that maybe when you're in college, you feel abused because all of your reading and time is taken for lecture notes and classes and books.
Yeah. True.
But when you're on a sailboat in Catalina and you have nothing better to do than to get lost into 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea with Captain Nemo, it is amazing. So what's even more amazing is like a Dr. Seuss book or something that you can blast through in a few minutes. Sherry, how long would it take to read your book?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Maximum.
So you're asking 20 people for 10 minutes of their time. That's actually better. You go to 20 people and say, hey, I have a favor. Can I borrow you for 10 minutes? Or can you do something for me in 10 minutes? Get them to admit yes before you say, all right, read my book. Right? And then
usually people are pretty excited when I say, would you like to be one of the first 20 people in the world to read this story? And they're like, yay.
That sounds way cooler. But I guess I'm thinking more like trying to get somebody to like pet sit or do something that they don't necessarily want to do. All right. So I'm going to retract from that. You write it down or you talk it out. Then you let people be one of the first 20 to read this amazing piece of unseen literature. And they can be the first 20 in the entire world to experience it. And then you get that feedback. And if 19 out of 20 say that they get goosebumps, it gives you courage bumps.
Yes.
Are there such things as courage bumps?
I think we just invented it.
Yes, we have Ryan's writer theory, hashtag courage bumps. And then, you know, you transition to this social media, and that's what I want to talk about at this point, because everybody's now thinking of their children's story. I actually had a writer on the other day who had a dog, and his dog is a little tiny scrappy dog, and he taught his dog to catch a frisbee. And the dog is maybe not the most athletic dog. He's probably not the tallest dog. He probably has a couple freckles and probably has a weird hairdo, right? So we can all relate to him. But after weeks and weeks and months of training, the little dog can jump and catch a Frisbee. Aww. And so he wrote the story, Hobo and the Frisbee. And it's an empowerment story about, you know, not giving up and being persistent and chasing after your goals. And, I mean, you can have a dog inspire your sport, inspire your story. You are listening to Get Notified, and we've been notified about the fact that we are all writers if we've ever written, and that everyone has a children's book inside of them that can be leveraged off of some pain point that they've had to help inspire the generation ahead of them to not have as much pain or struggle or make it easier. We are at KUCI-FM, and we're going to really dig into the social media. So get your phones out, make sure you have reception, and follow at KUCI-FM. And we'd love to have you give us some Twitter love. If you want to Instagram us, same thing, KUCI-FM. And we're on Tumblr as well as Facebook, and that's KUCI-889. Esmeralda, are you a social media earnest-ment-y person?
I am not, actually. I only have Snapchat and Instagram. And Instagram, my last post was like, I would say 3 months ago.
Wow.
So,
Sherry, what do you think about that?
You know, I think everyone has their own way.
Yes, I agree. Not all people have to be on social media. Let's get that straight.
Exactly.
But exactly. But
Sherry, and not everybody enjoys it. But for me, like, I started out being very reluctant. I was very cautious, and I wasn't sure that it was even for me, but it's so funny. Like, I'm such a passionista about it now. Like, there are people who come to festivals, and they will meet me, and they will cry. And I'll say, wow, you know, how do you know me? And they're like, I know you through Facebook. You know, I get letters from places like Bali, and I'm like, how do you know me? Facebook. You know, and a lot of my younger fans, they're not on Facebook because they're not old enough yet, but they're on Instagram. And when I would go into their schools and I would chat with them, and they'd say, oh, are you on Instagram? And I'd say, no. And they'd be like, oh. But now I'm on there, and I have all these amazing fans who are sharing their lives with me, who I get to encourage and empower. And, oh, that person learned to ride a horse, or that person just got their blue belt in jiu-jitsu, or that person just graduated from the eighth grade. You know, like, I'm encouraging all these kids that I wouldn't have a connection with otherwise, you know, and it's fun for me. Like, I love doing things that light me up, and I love sharing it with people because people say it really inspires them. And that just adds fuel to my fire to live more passionate life, you know, to create more magic for people. So it's just been really fascinating. And the way I discovered that, if I could share a story with you guys. So I used to have a personal page and then a fan page, which I still do on Facebook, but I was very careful about what I would post. This is right after The Little Rose came out, and I wasn't sure what I was doing and, you know, all those things. And I got new glasses, and I was in this Shake Shack place, or I can't remember what it was called, but anyway, I had this pink drink, and I had these new glasses, and I made this silly face, and I was trying to post it on my personal page, but I had just gotten a new phone, and I wasn't that social media savvy, and I accidentally posted it on my fan page, and it got more response than anything else I had posted. And because of that, I thought, wow, people really care about the personal side of a professional's life, and that totally opened it up for me.
Well, that's a great story, and first of all, shout out to that little dude or dudette who got their blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Mad respect. Mm-hmm. We'll roll around, and you can try to beat me up. That's great. But I think that you bring this point really to connectivity and reach, right? You're able to see in real time that you're connecting with people, and I like to think of social media as a tool, just one more tool. It's not the only tool, and there are different audiences or different platforms, but it gives you a chance. Like, if you have a message that you're passionate about sharing, and you feel like your story of a rose in a weed bush can inspire people, social media gives you this further reach. Now, Sherry, from an educational standpoint, will you help to clarify the difference between a personal Facebook page and a business Facebook page? Esmeralda, do you know the difference?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, Sherry, tell us, because I know that not everybody understands that still. And on the show, I have this saying, it's called a GTO, a grandma timeout. So, GTO, Facebook personal versus public page.
Okay. So, on Facebook, when you have a personal page, that's the page where typically people share their family pictures. They might share more local things, like hey, I need a ride to the airport, that kind of thing, right? You can have, you have a limit of 5,000 friends that you can have, and you can't grow beyond that. So that's your personal page. Your professional page, which I'm calling fan page, is for your business or your book, or for me, it's me as a public figure because I do so many things beyond books. And that has unlimited reach, where you can have as many fans as want to like your page, and that's where you can share, you know, inspirational content. I mean, you can share it in both places, but you have a bigger potential for more of an audience to see it if it's on your fan page, right? Because it's not limited to the 5,000 people.
That was brilliant.
And that's where I would promote, like I promoted the show today. That's where I include links to buy the books. That's, you know, that's where I connect with the most people.
So would you suggest that people jump and get that business profile page sort of at the beginning or at the start, even if they are maybe not ready? Because 5,000 is intimidating, but you might think, well, I don't need more than 5,000 friends. Well, you don't. But if you have something that 5,001 people might want to be a fan of, you know, there's maybe a legitimacy to make that jump. When would you suggest people take that jump? Because maybe I'm not a public figure or I'm not ready for that. What is the timing that you would suggest, or how do you coach people on when to make that move from Facebook personal to Facebook business?
I would do it right away. I would secure your spot now and start growing it, because even if you just have an idea of a book, you're the author of the upcoming book.
Ooh, you know? I like that.
And so I would start building that brand immediately. And the other thing about the personal versus the professional page is that you have to think about it like you're going to meet so many people, especially the people who are in college right now, people who are in middle school. Like, they're going to meet so many people in their lives. 5,000 is not a very big number. And you're not going to want every single one of them to be a quote-unquote friend. You know, there are people that you meet that you maybe, like, they really like you, but you don't really have a lot of time to connect with them, and it's better for them to be on your professional page than on your personal page seeing pictures of your baby brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just really good to have the space for it. And then, as you grow your career and when you have something to talk about, you already have a fan base. And then when the media comes to you and they want to check in and say, oh, Esmeralda's got a book out, like, let's see what her presence looks like online. She's already got one.
I dig that.
It adds a lot of credibility.
You know, Esmeralda just took her phone out, and she was, I think she's maybe doing it. Yep, I think she's signing up for a Facebook fan page now because she is the future author of her children's book. Have you come up with a basic storyline yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, well,
I'm still thinking.
Well, let's talk this through. Sherry, let's help Esmeralda with her basis, okay? Because she had a problem with being short, and there's a lot of people that are short.
Yes.
So, you know, Sherry was talking about plants that were growing. What are some other things that short people might have an advantage at the end of the day, which, but you wouldn't think, right? Because the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise is slow, but he's persistent, and he just continues on until he passes the line. When the rabbit's like, hop, 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 I'm cool, I'm cool. I have such a lead, I can just fall asleep.
Yeah.
So maybe in the animal kingdom or in the plant kingdom or maybe the ocean, what are you like? What's your favorite animal? What do you, did you cling on to, like, were you really into the Smurfs or something, or were you into something that was like short that you associated with? Do you have any pets? We're trying to like just.
I have a dog, but he's.
Okay, what about a dog? Let's, do you like dogs? Are you into dogs?
Yes, I do love dogs.
Okay, Sherry, are you a dog person? Dogs or cats?
I love dogs. Yes.
Dogs or cats?
Which I love them both.
Oh, you're not going to take a stance. That's fair enough, because there are children listening. Cats and dogs are both great. That's fine. All right, Esmeralda, dogs. Did you have a little tiny dog, like
a
little short dog?
Yes, I did. Okay. I had a little teacup puppy.
Oh, a teacup puppy.
Yes.
Okay, so there's your main characters, your teacup. What was his name? Her name?
His name was Toby.
Toby. Toby's a good name, right? Unless you're on the office and you're the HR rep, and you get a hard time for everything, right?
Yeah.
Poor Toby. Right? Poor Toby.
Uh-huh, poor Toby.
Is there anything that Toby did miraculously that was like, wow, a big dog couldn't do? Maybe get into a small space or save a baby kitten that was in a drain?
He jumped on the bed. That was a surprise.
He could get up on the bed.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sherry, chirp in here. We've got Toby. Poor Toby. He's a little tiny teacup. He eventually gets up to the bed, but maybe he struggled without it. Anything resonating with your creative brain? Maybe put a creative wig on. Let's see what we can do here.
The rainbow, the rainbow.
I don't know.
Wave.
Like, I can't, like, I think the dog thing is cool, but I think it would be, I would love it if you'd write it from your own perspective from school.
Okay.
Because there are things like, because that really would resonate with people who are in that same situation. I mean, the dog thing's cute too.
Could
but
Toby still be a character?
Toby could totally be the main character if you
Toby
wanted
could
to be
totally.
Toby.
Okay. So yeah, Toby's so in there, yeah.
Yeah, and I would think about what kind of predicament could you put Toby in, or Esmeralda, you know, wink, wink, in that the other kids would have the bravado to think that they could do it, right? Because they're tall or they're big or they're strong. And turns out that the only person who is right for whatever this challenge is, who can save everybody, save the day, so to speak, would be Toby/Esmeralda.
I'm totally getting goosebumps right now, and I think Esmeralda's getting courage bumps. I can see her body language changing. Okay, so we're getting there. We're a little closer, okay? We still have a little time for that. So keep thinking on that.
I'll keep thinking.
Now, because Esmeralda is the future author of her book, and she's now set up her fan page, where do we go from here, Sherry? I want a roadmap. I want to leverage your brain and help everybody understand. So it's super simple, kind of the steps, knowing that social media isn't for everyone and that you don't have to. But if you wanted to get your book out there into the world, or your piece of content, or your blog, or your research paper, what are some of these beginning steps after you've already got it created and you're sort of in that, I'm now ready and I have the confidence bumps, #confidence bumps, to get it out there into the world? What do we do now?
Okay, so I would make sure you have a profile picture and a cover image on that page, right?
Super important.
Once you have those, then there's a tool like on the, if you're looking at it on the Mac or on a desktop, it's on the left. They have a promote button. If you click that, there's an option to invite friends, and you can invite all your Facebook friends to like your page. So that would be a great way to start getting the word out and to build your fan base from people who already know and like you.
Gotcha. So right out the gates, you're basically in, you have the 20 people that you asked to be the first person to read, you know, your book before it goes live to the world. And then you're basically leveraging your existing friendships and saying, hey, I know you're friends with me on Facebook, but I might be doing something cool over here. Just come check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can be friends with you and be a fan. Most people are.
Gotcha.
Like, think about it. The people that I'm most excited about are people I'm friends with who are doing cool things. Of course I want to support them.
I dig it. Are you getting this down? She's taking notes over here.
I am, actually.
She is. This is great. Now, for the profile picture of your business page, I've got a question. Should it be a picture of a person? Is it a professional headshot? Is it maybe more oriented towards what this business might be, like Esmeralda and Toby smiling or something like that? Or what's your opinion when it comes to the profile picture for your fan page?
I think it depends on what kind of business you have.
Okay.
Right? Like, one thing that I've learned is not to create one that's book-based, because once you get a taste of being an author and you have that book in your hand and you start getting fan mail and you start hearing that it's affecting people in a positive way, you're going to be addicted. You're going to have more than one book. And you don't want to have 10 different Facebook fan pages. You know, that's just a lot to maintain, in my opinion. It's enough to maintain Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know. So I would suggest making it about you as the creator or your business name. And then back when I was in the corporate world, we did a lot of testing with e-commerce sites. And what we found is that people resonate best with images of people. Hmm. So when we would test all kinds of different images, great quality images of products. The one that won every single time and got more conversions and more sales was always one that had a person in it, even if the product was like almost vacant from the picture.
That's good.
So
that's a good point.
I would suggest having something with you in it. And if you have a dog, that's awesome. You know, you could take a picture with your dog, especially if the book is about a dog. I think people resonate best with images of other people.
All right, so
happy
this along, because she's excited here. I'm gonna take a picture, big old smile. This is your book, Facebook profile, business. That was good. I got a really good picture. I'll send that to you. See.
All right.
So we have our Facebook page set up. We've got a good picture of a person with a smile, and like you have this radio personality too now, right? And what are the next steps? You've got this set up, and it's not towards the book. It's towards you, because This is just the first in an 8-part series of Toby and Esmeralda take on the world. Okay. What do we do next, Sherry?
So you've invited friends, so you already have a beginning fan base. Then you start posting. And this is the fun part, because you get to just be who you are. And that's the best advice I can give to authors, is just be your authentic self. Like, when I was in the corporate world, I was trying to be what they wanted me to be, which I refer to as the corporate robot. And you can be creative under that, but not as much. And, like, I have always been pink and sparkly unicorn girl. Like, that is who I am at the core. I always have been. So now I get to express that out into the world. Like, I post things that inspire me. I'll be, like, fired up about something, and I'll come up with a quote, and I'll put that out there, or I'll see other people doing cool things, and I want to give them a shout-out. So you share the love. Like, that's what it's really about, is you build relationships with people by spreading more love, at least for me.
Okay,
that's
so,
what I do.
So speaking of posting, watch this. I'm going to do a live tweet here, because that was just one of the most informational, inspirational, and... Actually, Esmeralda, you look about 3 inches taller right now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, so sum that up again, because I was lost in listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we have the want to share, you're distracted because you're trying to capture what's happening at the moment. But I was lost in listening. So you talked about passion, and you talked about sharing and all this crazy stuff. If you were to put together your own tweet that I'm going to tweet for you, what would it be right now?
Oh, my goodness.
In honor of posting. In honor of posting.
It would be authentically express what you're passionate about. Spread the love. Inspire others.
Spread the love. Inspire others.
I don't know how many characters that is.
We're good. We got 53 left. So we're going to do this. We're going to go at Sherry. Oh, this is good, because we want to plug you too. So... your Twitter is at Sherry, S-H-E-R-I, underscore Fink, F-I-N-K, and not F-I-N-K, here at K-U-C-I, F-M, and I'm going to put hashtag truth bomb, and then I'm also going to put hashtag courage bumps. And that's it. That's to zero. That's perfect. I'm going to tweet that out.
Sweet.
So I just, did you say sweet or tweet? I thought
tweet.
It was like, it's like
tweet.
All right. We got our tweeps out there. Let's do this. I just wanted to show everybody how easy that was to actually post. Because you're talking about posting now. And there we go. It's out there into the world. Yeah. Okay. So we've gotten our Facebook page that's for a fan page setup. We've got a good looking person based photo. We've invited our friends. And we start to post, because it's important to authentically express what you're talking about by spreading the love and inspiring others.
Yes.
Hashtag courage bumps. What's next?
So next is that you see how your posts perform. And when you're first starting out, when you don't have that big of a fan base, you know, you don't get discouraged if you don't have 300 likes. You know, you put it out there because it sings to your soul. That's the purpose. Like, you want to help other people, you put it out there, and you let go of attachment to what happens with it. But you learn over time, like, wow, pictures that have people in them do really well. Selfies do really well. If you can throw an animal in there, that could do pretty well.
That's where Toby comes in.
And the other thing is about balance. So I don't remember where I read this, but years ago I read about the relationship bank account. You guys ever heard of this?
No, I've heard of the bucket theory, which is, you know, you want to be constantly filling up other people's buckets with compliments and stuff like that, and until people are spilling over. And if somebody does something mean to you, it's like taking water out of your bucket. So I don't know if there's a similar
kind of like that. It's basically that for every one withdrawal that you have in any relationship, you have to have 9 deposits to cover it.
Wow.
And the deposit could be, like in social media, it wasn't written in this terms, it was written more in interpersonal, but because it was years ago before social media. But applying that theory to social media, think about, you want to have 9 posts that add value to people's lives for every 1 post that you ask them to take action.
Sherry, have you heard of the 411 theory by Joe Paluzzi?
No, I haven't.
Have you heard of Joe Paluzzi, Content Inc. as a book?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. You could be one of the, not one of the first 20, but maybe one of the first 2 million people that read this book, okay? It's called Content Inc., and it's by Joe Paluzzi. He's brilliant, and it's a fun story. It's a quick story. He had this technology he was going to do. He was confident with a wife and two children to quit his job and go develop it. He found out the day after he quit, it would be more than 9 months to even get close to being able to have a product to sell. He had already burnt all the ships. He decided to start writing content about what this product would do in the world, and he essentially is the godfather of content marketing. His concept is that if you build the audience first, you can sell whatever you want. And he's come up with this theory called the 411 theory, very similar to this relationship deposit. But he says for every 6 posts total, 4 should be of other people's content that you're sharing that's in line with what you're doing, like share other authors or share other inspirational stories, stuff that you don't have to create, but you're sharing. Then 1 piece of original content, you have to create something, but it's not as much pressure because it's a 4 other people to 1 of yours. Mm-hmm. And then that allows you to ask for 1 thing, whether it's buy my book, come to my website, do this, do that. And it's a very similar concept, but you would love that and totally geek out on Joe Paluzzi.
Sweet. I'll check that out. Yeah. You know, I have an extreme bias for original content.
Cool. That's cool.
Even with other inspirational icons, like when they regurgitate other people's stuff too much, I get a little bit jaded about it. I'm like, I want to hear what you think about it. Like, even if they just throw up an inspirational quote and don't comment anything on it, I don't like that. Like, I want to hear their unique take on it.
You hear that? You hear that, Joe? You hear that, Joe? Sherry and I have an extreme bias against, well, not extreme, but extreme bias against too much of other people's content. And I agree with you. The challenge, though, sometimes is it's insane to come up with 9 pieces of content all the time. So,
oh, no, you don't have to do it all the time.
Oh,
that's
just
the beauty of it.
Oh.
This is over time.
Gotcha. Oh, Esmeralda just said, Esmeralda, I don't know if you heard it, but in the editing room for the podcast, we're going to have to blunt. She just went, oh, gosh, like you just felt, she just got shorter by 3 inches.
I didn't know, I'm not a very, social media person, so posting 9 posts, every single day.
She started to get scared.
No, not daily. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That would be overwhelming for everybody.
Yeah.
So let's talk about,
that would make you feel fear. Yeah.
Let's talk about frequency from a total beginner standpoint, right? We've got Toby and Esmeralda take on Texas, and you know, she understands this concept of you don't want to be the little girl who cried wolf. You don't want to say buy my book. But Sherry, what's a good sort of baseline to start off with to get people to feel comfortable, or is there any hard and fast rule, and is it it depends? What do you think?
I mean, people will tell you that there's a system to it. People will tell you, post 3 times a day, do this on Instagram, do that on Twitter. Like, I don't really subscribe to that. Maybe I could do even better if I did, but that's not authentic for me. I'm not trying to come up with content to share. Like, I post when I'm inspired to post. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where, I used to think, oh, if I post it, 10 a.m. Pacific time, most people will see it. Then I would do something really cool at midnight, and I get so excited about it, I couldn't wait to share it to the next day, and I post it, and I had more results than ever before. It's like there's no rhyme or reason to it in my space anyway. I want to post it when I feel inspired to share it, when I feel that fire within me that's like, oh, this is so cool, I want to tell everybody about it. Like, think about when you see the best movie ever. Don't you want to tell people about it right away? You want everybody to have that awesome experience that you just had. That's how I feel about it. Like, when I feel like that, I want to share it then. If it doesn't feel like that, then I don't bother. It's not worth it.
And
why would I waste people's time, you know?
And I'm inspired to tweet that. Watch. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I post when I get inspired to post. Wise words from @Sherry_Fink, @#GetNotified, @KUCIFM, #CourageBumps. I was trying to do that all in one breath, but I ran out. MPS. And I'm also going to, this is going to be funny, because Esmeralda, what's a good working title for your book name? Because I'm going to throw it out, the first hashtag ever.
Oh, I wasn't thinking about the title.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about the plot.
Okay. How about short is cool? Short is cool. All right, so I threw a #shortiscool out there, right? I was inspired. And I really like that, Sherry, because there are hard and fast rules for, say, certain things in life, like mathematics and equations and things that have to happen in a certain amount of time. in an internal combustion engine, you have to have gas in order for it to work, unless it's a hybrid or a Tesla and, you know, save the planet, green energy, go. But from a hard and fast rule, if you say, I'm only going to post when I'm inspired to post, you probably are working with this whole concept of confirmation bias. Just, I want to sidetrack real quick. If you are or aren't familiar with the term, it is one of the most amazing and scientifically proven things that there's a lot of research on. Confirmation bias. If you're driving in the car and you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late, your brain will think of every reason and excuse to confirm that you will be late. If you work out of the gym and you say, man, I'm going to be so sore tomorrow, you wake up and your brain starts to try to feel whether or not you're sore. I think the same thing goes for social media posting. If you say, oh man, this is so difficult to come up with so much stuff and it's just overwhelming, you will look for every excuse to make it overwhelming. But a way to beat social media confirmation bias, it's probably too long for a hashtag, okay? Mm-hmm. Esmeralda was about to Instagram that out, is to give yourself the expectation that I'm only going to post when I'm inspired to post. And then when you're inspired, your brain will kick in and say, this might be good to post. And it takes the brain damage out of it.
Yeah, and then you start thinking about it in a creative way, too. That's the other thing that's been fun, is that as an artist and a writer, like, it's exciting to come up with new ways of saying things. It's fun, to, like, when you're in a moment, to think, wow, if I were to share this with people, what would be the most meaningful way I could express this?
In 140
like a
characters,
for
right?
For your writer brain. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I capture this feeling that I'm feeling that's so powerful, and how can I adapt it to, you know, two sentences so that people can connect with it immediately?
And that's
and
why
you
I love
better. You become a better writer through that process too.
Yeah, that's why I love. And see how I was just jumping over you, because I was excited and inspired. So on the radio, when you're inspired to talk, just go ahead and talk, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you talk over your guests.
You know, and the other really important thing about social media that we haven't talked about at all yet is interaction.
Mm.
So it's not enough just to create something like great content, to write a great article and put a powerful image out there and then sum it up really well. You have to engage with people. Like, that's the whole point. It's like you're being at a party and just everybody's just saying things with nobody listening. You know, that's not effective, and it doesn't feel good. Like, it doesn't feel authentic. So, like, I pay attention. When people like my stuff, I look at those names. Like, if they like things consistently, I may consider them a super fan. And a super fan is somebody who, you know, they are really into the brand, they buy the products, they sometimes champion it out to other people, they share things, and I reward super fans behind the scenes. Like, I reached out to a bunch of people recently and offered them free download of my new audiobooks.
They get to be the 200, they get to be the 20 people that before the world sees it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they get it for free.
Yeah.
And they're not, but they're not beta readers. It's already done. It's
okay.
A finished professional product. But, you know, it's doing those kinds of things. And, like, if I see someone engaging with my stuff, like they're posting, hey, it was so great to meet you at the event on Saturday, you know, I will respond to that. And so I think that is, like, the next most important thing, other than having a presence, is actually being responsive and caring about the people who care about you.
Yeah.
Not just in social media, but in life, you know?
One of my favorite quotes by this guy named Ryan Folland, he says, engagement drives engagement. And it's something that you just imagine yourself at the top of the hill. You just kind of have to, like, push yourself over and get that downhill, and then it goes from there. Esmeralda, you've been wanting to chirp in here. Tell us what you're thinking. Is this good stuff?
Yes, it is. I had a question. So, like, since there is a lot of fans coming out and reaching and liking and commenting, like, up to what point, like, do you answer to all their comments, or do you, like, some of them, and, like, some of them you reach out, like, on the side, like you said?
How do you deal with, you know, growth? Yeah. How do you deal with, how do you find the time, essentially, and how do you engage when you've got a lot of engagement?
I spend an hour a day responding to fans, and that could be through snail mail, it could be through email, it could be Facebook Messenger, it could be on my fan page. It boils down to about an hour a day invested. But those people, I mean, you make a huge difference in their life. It matters to them if you write back. And it feels good to do it. You know, it's something you can give freely. And maybe it's not scalable long term. I mean, right now I have, I think, like 27,000 fans on Facebook. And, you know, hopefully that'll grow over time. So I'm not sure that when you hit huge numbers, you'd be able to do it for everybody. But
they'll be hiring a bunch of people in wigs by that point.
Weird.
I can imagine a warehouse full of people with wigs of all different colors, and everybody's like hacking away and whatnot. I think.
Oh,
that,
no. I will always be myself. Like, I won't allow other people to speak on my behalf.
Okay,
that's something really important to me. Like, people are like, "Oh, you can outsource social media." I'm like, "No, you can't. You can't really." Like, it depends on the kind of business you have, but if it's personality based, it's not you. It's
whether you have a wig or not, you are not Sherry Fink.
Well, you know, I just think it's important that when you respond to fans, it's really you.
Yeah, it comes back
to
that authenticity.
Coming from your heart.
Yeah. Hashtag authenticity. It's a long one. It's hard to spell.
And
but
maybe it takes time, but my fans are worth it. They invested the time in writing to me. They care about what I say. And it's amazing to me when I meet people in person I've never met before and they say it had an impact.
Yeah, that's special.
So,
Esmeralda, do you have any favorite TV shows?
Friends.
Friends. Okay. Do you watch TV at all during the week or Netflix or anything?
Netflix. Spend my days watching Netflix.
Okay. How much time do you spend watching Netflix?
Probably like 2 hours.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You see what I just did there? I just led you into a question and answer situation like we were in an internal investigation room. What if I asked you politely or implored you or let you decide for yourself, what if you cut your Netflix consumption from 2 hours a day to an hour and a half a day? Okay. Mm-hmm. That way you get 3 episodes in just back to back to back, like no break.
Mm-hmm.
And then you shut the computer down and you spend a half an hour a day on this concept of a book, on only posting when you're inspired. And do you think that if you do that within, say, 6 months, you could flush out the first copy of your book?
I think I could. I have a motivation and drive to, when I set my mind on something, I actually like set foot and like.
But you got to have time though.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right?
That's
we are all
thing.
Motivated, but we're if you're a student and it's chaos. Mm-hmm. So my challenge to you and my challenge to everyone out there is cut your Netflix consumption down by a half an hour. That's not much.
Mm-hmm.
Just one show. You can watch that show tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then invest that time every day to coming up with a children's book that is inspired based on some struggle that you had, and then write it down. Or put it into Google Docs as a voice over to text. Get it together. Get some help to put it on into a format. Find 20 people that are your close friends that are going to read it. Get feedback on it. Get your Facebook fan page. Put a profile picture. Make sure it's got a person.
Mm-hmm.
Start posting after you invite all of your friends. And then slowly build into something that not only inspires you, but inspires other people. And then finally, you can wear a wig.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Oh, okay. No, that's Sherry's thing.
That's Sherry's thing.
Anyways, well, hey, Sherry,
it makes you happy.
Yeah, find whatever you want to wear that makes you happy, and maybe it's a walk in a dog or whatever it is. But the point of the story, I'm trying to be cheeky here, but the real serious undertone is that anybody and everybody can write a book because we're all writers. If you've ever written anything, and if you're afraid of writing, you can still talk. Sherry, this has been super inspirational. I've got a couple children's books I'm going to write about some little redheaded kid who, you know, karate is something that helped to save the day or something. Like maybe I karate chopped something and it helped save the bullies and everybody came around at the end. Because at the end of the day, you know, life's too short to not learn from other people's struggles. Eleanor Roosevelt said, you have to learn from others' mistakes because you don't have time to learn them all yourself. We've got to get ready for the next show, and it happens to be Writers on Writing. So everybody, if you're into writing, stick around. Esmeralda, did you have fun today?
Yes, I did.
All right.
It was
and
very fun.
Sherry Fink, did you have a good time?
I did. Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Well, on the count of three, I'm going to have both of you say goodbye and call your grandma, because I think everyone should do that. And pitch your grandma what your story is, because she probably was there when you were struggling. Mm-hmm. All right, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, goodbye.
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 Call your grandma.
Call your grandma.
All right, thanks, guys. Sherry, we'll see you online. See you guys.
Thanks. Bye.